times it ain't nobody's fault. You keep waiting on tomorrow like it won't never come. Hey, hey, when you don't feel any love come to you, give me some. I say,
from sea to shining sea, throughout the solar system, and extending to interstellar regions beyond, this is The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I am fully aware of the fact that you could be doing a million other things tonight, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I really do. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. We're going to spend some time tonight. It's BYOT night, all right? That's Bring Your Own Topic night, and Jerry Wills will be joining me for that. We've got some pretty interesting things for him to update us about, but it's BYOT, I'm going to spend a little bit of time getting you all updated on the Kevin Smith Show and what's been going on and where we're headed, okay? And so you want to be sure you listen to that. And we're going to throw a couple of things on the table and talk about those and then open the phone lines and talk to you about whatever is on your mind. I have emails. I took a look at our email that came in over the weekend. It's literally from all over the world. And, you know, people talking about different things that are on their, it's on their mind, things that they are thinking about and interested in within the genre of the, you know, the world of the strange and the unexplained. And so I know that a lot of those folks have not called in before. So, you know, on BYOT night is a perfect night if you're a first-time caller. Any night is. But if you've never called us before, it's a perfect night because we have more telephone time available. We open the phone lines earlier in a BYOT night. Again, for those who are new, BYOT means bring your own topic, and that means we'll talk about anything that's on your mind within the world of the strange and the unexplained. Now, you know, we don't do, it's not a recipe show, we don't talk about how to fix your roof or how to fix your transmission in your car, all right? But it's any topic within the world of the strange and the unexplained. Those of you who are subscribed to the K-Files noticed you did not get it over the weekend as had been planned. It is not canceled. It was delayed. I will explain to you why. That's part of what I said a moment ago, what I was talking about when I said, you know, we're going to give you update on what's going on here at the show and where we go, where we're headed. And I think it's pretty exciting news, but still, you know, that was the cause, and I'll give you all the details in a moment, but that was the cause of the delay of the K-Files. So the K-Files delayed, but it will be coming out probably after the show tonight will start. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment with Master Jerry Wills.
All of the music used here at the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. Most of it from independent artists at musicalley.com. Go over to musicalley.com. Check out thousands of artists and thousands of great independent tunes. Musicalley.com.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we will, Jerry Wills will be joining us in just a moment, and we will enjoy our chat with him. But let me bring you up to date on what is up, what's going on. You know, I realize that for probably the majority of the people that listen to this show, probably you never think about anything going on with the show except while we're on the air. Believe me, it is a very, very busy, very intense schedule every day before we go on the air, and then after we go off the air. Lots and lots of hours are spent just to be able to go live with you for 2 hours each night. And there are tons of things that have to be done every single day. Now, I don't have a staff. And in other words, you are looking at the Kevin Smith Show staff right now. Or if you're listening, you are hearing the entire Kevin Smith Show staff right now. Okay? It's me. And so there are, as I say, tons and tons of things that have to be done. Now, let me explain, and you'll see why this is important. If you go to my website, you'll see a picture about tonight's show. If you're watching the show, you see that picture on your screen right now. And every single day we have, you know, a new graphic for the night show. Well, who do you suspect creates that graphic? Yeah, me. Every single day, it has to be, a new graphic has to be created. Not a big deal, because I've been doing it for a long time. I know what I got to do. It takes a few minutes on each graphic. But then, what if there is a show? Well, those who are watching, you see that city skyline behind me? How do you think that gets back there? Well, you're right. The staff does it. Me. The screen that you're looking at has to be designed. And I have a particular screen up there that shows the captain's log star date on it for a reason. Because I want those who are watching, watch that go away. You see that? It didn't go away. That's a whole new screen that had to be built that just faded in. Okay? Every change that happens has to be created. Now, I think you can understand that, I mean, you got to get the guests, you got to secure the guests, you got to research the topics. If there's no guest and I'm flying solo and I have a whole bunch of different pictures I'm going to show you, I have to do the research to be ready to talk about those pictures, but each and every picture that I show you has to be prepared. And so, you know, it has to be put into the software. It's not just download it, drag and drop. It doesn't happen that way. When the show is over, we need to get the audio, just the audio by itself, and that goes into the archives. And how does that happen? What do you think? Well, the staff does it, okay? And I can just go on and on and on. We pack about 30 hours of work into a 10-hour work day every day. I say we, I. I pack about 30 hours of work into a 10-hour work day every day. Because when I get up, I start, and I don't stop, I don't look back, I just keep moving and we get it done, all right? But I think you can understand that with several computers, one of them doing radio, several streams of radio, and another one of the computers doing video and handling communications both with the guests and with you when you call. And we have it networked, and you know, there is actually there's five computers involved with this. I think you can understand that there's no way to do what I do here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's absolutely humanly impossible to do it unless we have a whole lot of stuff automated. Well, we started experiencing problems with the automation. It's not just the breaks that are automated, that's part of it, but the recording of the K-Pods without the commercial breaks in there, that's part of the automation, separate from playing the commercials, the breaks, which they're not commercials, but they're breaks. And then putting all the pieces of the show together and then having a K-Pod and uploading it. There are probably at least there's enough work in just doing a show and then doing the post-production on the show. There's enough work at least for three people. And as a matter of fact, Jerry does the show for me every once in a while. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. Would you agree, because you're not set up with all the automation that I have installed, because you don't do this every night, would you agree that there's about 30 hours of work packed into a 10-hour workday to get a two-hour show?
Yeah, well, actually, I do have some of the same automation, a little bit different because I use a Mac, but wow, I'm telling you, it is a consuming task to do a show. You start in the morning and you just sweat bullets until it's time for the show. And that's after you've gotten your guests lined up and you've gotten all of the songs put into the proper order, all the timing done, all the commercials in place, and you know what you're going to talk about. And then, God help you, if something flubs up and the computer goes wacky. That happened to me a few times. Folks know that if they were watching. And,
you've got a computer going wacky now. Your audio has a jet in it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah. But anyway, I've got all these many tasks automated. So, folks, here's the deal. You noticed probably several weeks ago the automation stuff started going nuts. It just quit working right. And we would have part of it work, part of it didn't work, part of it worked part of the time, some of it worked all the time, none of it, part of it worked, part of it didn't work any of the time. And it was things shifting around. And so I started, I thought it was going to be an easy fix. And one of the things that affected was the K-Pods, our archives. That's the main thing it affected. We've had a huge, huge problem with that. By the way, those of you who are members, I want to thank you for those of you who have been very patient and understanding and who knew and trusted that I was working on it and that I was going to get it fixed. For those of you that got your panties in a knot and decided you had to go, bye. I'm not a miracle worker. I can only, do one thing at a time and work on it. Now, here's the problem. I finally discovered, Jerry, what the source of the problem was, and then was able to sort of get things back on the straight and narrow here. Over on the radio side, on the radio computer, there are currently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 programs running to do the radio show. Over on the television side, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 at the moment. We have five programs running. Okay, so on any given night, you're going to have anywhere from 8 to 12 programs running, depending on what it is you're going to be doing on the show. All right? There's no way that one hand can click enough buttons that fast to make everything happen like it's supposed to happen. So it has to all be as automated as possible, right? Remember? So the way you do that is you write a script that runs all the software across the network. And for those of you who know about scripts, you will understand this. Let's just take five programs. All right? So five programs, A, B, C, D, and E. Let's just say five programs. The problem that we were having is that the script is PHP. Some of this software did updates. All right? Now, I know people say, well, you ought to turn off updates. Well, some of this software, if you don't update it, the old version stops working. Okay? They turn it off after you get a grace period. You will update or you will not be using that program. And so, no choice. And that software was not compatible with the version of PHP that I was using, okay, the PHP script, the new updates. So whenever I did a workaround and kind of clutched some things in there and made that work, then other programs that were working stopped. So it worked like this. You get A and B working, but C, D, and E are not working. So you do a workaround, and you get E working, and now A quits. And so you get A working again, you got B working, and you got E working, but now we got to get C and D going. So we get C and D going, and the first three stop. That's what I've been battling. And there was just really no way around. I mean, I say there's no way. You guys that are actual programmers may be listening to this and say, well, that's simple. I could handle that. Well, wish you had. But you didn't. And so I had to do that. And I'm not blaming you because I didn't ask you to help. You didn't even know. All right? But, I mean, the point is I had to do it. And I did the best I could do with it. And finally, the only way, the only solution was that we had to update all the software. And that's pretty expensive on some of those. And we had to update all the software. Some of the updates are free, but on some of them, well, expensive for us. I mean, you know, we don't have deep pockets. And so, anyway, we've got all the automation going. A part of the automation with the K-Pods is after it assembles the K-Pod for the evening, it uploads it automatically. Well, then I still have to go in manually and type what you read on the screen, but it assembles it and then uploads it automatically, and then all I have to do is type that information and upload that. Well, all of them, I ran it today, all of the K-Pods are uploaded now. The list that you read is not up there yet. The updates are not on the list yet because I didn't have time to get it all typed in yet, but we'll do that after the show tonight. All the K-Pods are up, but I ran it as an auto upload with the script, and hoorah, hoorah, it worked. And it didn't kill any of the other automated programs. So success at last. And, all our members, thank you for sticking with me as I've battled this thing. I tried to not have to do all those updates, because we simply don't have the funds. But there was no choice, had to do it, but it's all working now. And that means then that you should be getting As soon as I can get all the stuff typed in for the list, you'll have a new list tonight for the K-Pods. And you should have all of the new K-Pods should automatically upload. Because the tests I ran on it today, it all worked. All right. So I can now wipe my brow and say, whew, okay. And I know I've said it a couple of times, but again, thank you for all of the members who have just hung in there and stuck with it and realized that I was working on it and that I would get it fixed and that we would get back to normal. So hopefully we are back to normal. Those of you who listen to the show, and you're not members, you have noticed, you remember over the past couple of weeks, there were times when I said, well, wait a minute, that break wasn't supposed to play yet. That was supposed to play at the midpoint, and it played early. Remember that? That was one of those conflicts that was happening. All right? So you got to experience it, even though if you weren't watching, you still got to experience it. We had really, I don't have any hair on the top of my head. Had I had hair on the top of my head, I would not now have it because I would have pulled it all out by now. It has been a ride. Jerry Wills is with us. He is our associate host. And freshly returned from South America, fairly freshly returned, hasn't been back all that long. Last time we talked to you, Jerry, you were in South America.
Yes, that's right.
You were, I think, in Lima, Peru when we talked to you last, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. We were in Lima, staying at, it was a hotel that we were staying at the end of the journey.
You had been actually in a lot of places in South America by that point. And, you'd done the Tecate Valley and a lot of filming there and or videotaping. And filming, too, you used, well, I don't know. Did you use all digital cameras or did you get some 35mm shots in, too?
No, just all digital.
Uh-huh. All right, so videotaping and photographing. You had, we got a break taking over. We'll pick up there when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we will return, and we'll do so in just a couple of minutes. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guest is actually our associate host, Jerry Wills. And we were talking about, you know, the last time we spoke, Jerry and Kathy were in Peru, and you did Peru, you did Bolivia. Where else did you go? Was that it? Oh, hang on a second, Jerry. I didn't turn your mic back on.
That's fine.
That part is not automated. All right. Peru and Bolivia. Any other excursions?
No, that was quite enough. Both are, you know, quite large areas of land, and we covered a lot of territory during the 43 days that we were away.
43 days, that sounds like a long time to be away. Are you glad to be back?
Yeah, really. Kathy and I both are. We didn't really even have any idea of how exhausted we were. Coming back, it was like 5 days where we just felt so tired. It was like layers of stress were just, you know, being peeled away from us. And after about the fifth day, we started feeling more like ourselves, and staying up a little later at night, and I felt more like looking at the video clips that we'd shot, you know, on our editing console over here. And you know, it was an exhausting journey. And there was a lot of stress involved with it, of course. There always is.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we decompressed, I suppose.
Was this a tougher expedition in terms of stress? Was it more stressful than your previous expeditions there?
I think so, in some regards. You know, the thing that was most stressful right out of the box, going to Tarapoto and just running. You know, we had been running for a couple of weeks before we ever left, so we were already kind of tired. Getting everything assembled, everything checked, every item, you know, making sure every item was in there. The only thing I forgot was an extension cord, as I mentioned on a previous show. Going into Tocachi, after not having much rest, and starting at 2 o'clock in the morning, which made no sense to us, but we found out later, you know, why it was important to do it that way. But you know, it was just nonstop, and really for most of those 43 days, almost every day was spent getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning and going until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night.
Why sometimes did you have to get up so early?
Well, the schedules. For example, when you leave and go from, say, Lima to Tarapoto, there's one flight. Actually, there's two. But when you fly on LAN has a penalty of about $175 if you're a foreigner. They charge you that much more per ticket, and the tickets are already expensive. So the only flight that you can get is a flight that's going from Lima to Tarapoto at a given hour, and that given hour can be 5:30 in the morning. Well, I think it was 6:30 in the morning. To catch that flight, you have to get to the airport, 2 hours ahead of time. If you get there an hour ahead of time, you're never going to make the flight, because it's just such a packed mess to get from point A to point B and get through security and so forth. We were traveling on that particular leg with our personal bags and 3 cargo bags plus a solar panel and camera gear, camera bags. Kathy had one, I had one a little bit larger, and a satchel full of electronics systems that are essential in order to keep the camera equipment charged and running. So we're hauling these huge amounts of luggage with us. We didn't want to do it that way, but you know, you don't know what you're going to encounter. You have to be prepared. So getting there early, that's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
We arrived, got to a hotel, and getting ourselves ready, we got to bed by midnight. We had 11:30 at night, midnight. And we had to be up at 2. And then
so
go.
So two hours sleep, and then you're off into the jungle.
I'm sorry?
So 2 hours sleep, and then you're off into the jungle.
Well, sort of. What happened was is there was a car coming to get us.
Uh-huh.
Because from Tarapoto to Tekachi, it depends on the driver. Our driver wasn't very good. So it's about a 7.5 to 8 hour ride on dirt roads, muddy roads if it's rained, winding like, you know, a twisted hare through the Andes Mountains, up and down and around and back and forth and through the jungle, over streams. So it was a long ride. And you don't know what to expect because, you know, you're tired, of course. When we did this the first time, we flew into Tokachi, and now planes won't go in there because it's a dangerous place for planes, I suppose. But this time we drove, and there's rumors of bandits and people with, you know, weapons that will stop the car, make everyone get out, and take what they want, and then leave.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it includes your clothes. They didn't leave you with anything. So we had the stress of that we were dealing with as well. They do this to buses. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it, but imagine a bus with 30 or 40 people on it, a car on fire in the middle of the road, in the middle of nowhere, and these fellows come out with shotguns and pistols, machetes and machine guns, who knows what. They order everybody off the bus, fire the guns off a few times, and the people are scared to death. Well, we're not a bus. We're a van, sort of. It wasn't quite a van. Full of cargo bags of all kinds of equipment and, you know, everything that we had that we needed to take with us.
But you didn't run into any of these bandits, though, personally, right?
We did not get stopped by them. We had to pay a little here and there to get through. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that we really didn't go into on the other times that I was on the show with you, because I wanted to be out of Peru before I started talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Going there was no big deal, but coming back from Tokachi, again, it's a 7.5-8 hour ride. Well, there was about 8 or 9 different places with a cable across the road and people with weapons pointing them in the window in our face, wanting to know who are you and what are you doing, and a few bucks, and they don't care. And, you know, the first time it happened, it was like, oh my God. The third time it happened, it was like, how many of these are there? By the seventh time, eighth time, it was like, this is ridiculous. Never had any trouble. You know, we didn't get robbed, but I never really quite understood the whole concept of that.
That's part of, you know, we had the same thing in some of the areas of Kosovo. We had the same thing in East Timor. It's, you know, they just kind of make that their private toll bridge, kind of, you know. They've got a barricade of some kind across the road, and you pay, and they move it.
Sure, yeah. And that's what it was like. And it was like, okay, well, Thanks for the money, and oh, look, the cable's down. Now you're free to go. But it's just intimidating when you have people on both sides of the car with, you know, 12-gauge shotguns and machine gun or pistol or whatever. I mean, it's different from different one time to the next. But it most always, you know, either a shotgun or a sawed-off shotgun, and it's stuck in the window, and they're just looking at you. You know, at one point, I was sitting, of course, in the passenger side, in the front seat, and this came in the window, and it was like, you know, from, if you take a look at the monitor, here's how far away it was from me, right about, you know, this far. My monitor over there. And I just took it and I went like that and said, "Nice gun. What do you do with this?" And the guy just sort of looked at me like, "What?" And Kathy, of course, is saying, "Don't mess with them, Jerry. Just leave them alone and don't say anything. They don't have a sense of humor." Well, I was losing my sense of humor about it as well, but you know, it was definitely a situation that was uncomfortable. And of course, that creates a lot of stress. When we left there, we finally got back to Tarapoto. See, there were some things that happened in Tekachi that were very, very uncomfortable. We got there, and then it was like the second coming. It just was raining. But there was this undercurrent, this undertone of something's not right. And by the third day, and really after we'd finished shooting the Doomsday Stone segment, this fellow who was there, we found out later we're supposed to be paying him. He lived there, but because we're there, we have to pay him every day. That part didn't make much sense either, but we did. But he was really the intermediary, as it was explained to Kathy and I, he was the intermediary between the bad guys, however you might want to tag them, and the farmers. The farmers, they're growing coffee and cacao, which is chocolate, and there are huge coca plantations all through those mountains. And the bad guys are funding that. So he was the go-between.
He was Al Capone running a protection racket.
Yeah, and we were the ones being protected. So he, the third day, he's saying, "You know, when you were here before, you never paid me." I mean, I'm paraphrasing, of course, because he was not that eloquent, but we're going, "Wait a minute, that's not right." And he proceeded to go on and say how he had lost two horses and had all these expenses and all these things that happened as a result of him working with us, and that we now needed to pay him for horses and time and materials and so forth. And I'm trying to figure out what he's talking about. Well, as it turns out, someone else had gone in there, you know, from outside, someone from England, actually.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll get the rest of that story on the flip side, on the other side of this. We'll be back, folks, right after this. welcome back. My guest is our associate host, Jerry Wills. And Jerry, as we went away for break, you were telling us about this guy that said, you owe me money from the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just didn't make sense. He was naming off this place that he said that he took us, that he'd lost one horse over a mountain and another horse died on the way back because it was so exhausted and he never got paid and this other person didn't get paid and so on and so on. And when we were there before, we paid exactly what we agreed to pay. There's never been an issue like that with us. And I said, no, you're mistaken. I think you've got us confused with someone else, because I knew about this other fellow from England that had done just this. As it turns out, he was not going to acquiesce that it was this other fellow. He was certain that it was us. And I told him in very clear terms, both through my animation and through our interpreter, that I was not paying him for anything like that. That was ridiculous. That it was basically wrong, and he was being a crook. So you're being a bandit, a rat, and I'm not paying you for this because I'm not responsible for someone else. I know what happened, and it wasn't us. We weren't even here. We have nothing to do with this person. Well, that didn't go over too well.
Mm-hmm.
The next week, and it was basically, we were supposed to go to two other places while we were there, but at that point, that wasn't going to happen. And it just felt very uncomfortable before any of this occurred anyway. There was this palpable sense of something is really wrong, that it just doesn't feel good here. There's something really out of place. So we elected to, we got the shots we really came for. These other things, I guess we'll have to write that off and not get it this time, if we ever get it at all. We went back to Takachi, to the hotel, after 3 or 4 days. I've forgotten now how many days it was, but we were out there for several days. And this fellow is at the hotel, and it starts up again. With a little bit more intimidation. And so, you know, it was very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. How did you get it resolved?
We didn't get it resolved. He left and went somewhere. I don't know where he went exactly, but he was going to be gone for a while. Our one guy, the interpreter, he left, and the other guide, who was the fellow who had basically our ticket to get in there, had taken us in and knew these people. He was leaving, and before he left, he got a taxi for us. Transportation, they call everything a taxi. But the transportation for us back to Terapoto, and then he left. So we, it was just Kathy and I on our own. And I think it's important to understand that this, if you look up what's going on in some of the Latin American countries, specifically Peru, they have had a war going on with the Shining Path for years.
Mm-hmm.
Shining Path are terrorists. And the terrorists and the narco-traffickers are hand in hand. Where we were was the center of the bullseye for where they are, both groups. So, you know, we knew this.
And sounds like my kind of place, man.
What's that?
That sounds like my kind of place.
Well, there's some really neat stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we felt confident with our interpreter and our guide that it would be fine. You know, we had to have permission to even get there. Not from the government, but from these other elements. And, we knew it was risky, but we felt that what we were after was worth the risk, because I felt, you can feel when something isn't right, and you can kind of look in the future, I do anyway, and see if I'm going to make it. And I could see that we'd be fine. It'd be a little unnerving at times, but I knew that we would be all right. Mm.
Well, you remember when we talked about this before you put this together, I advised mm-hmm. you not to go into that area, because I, yep. I said, if they're in need of cash, you're the meal ticket.
Yeah, exactly.
And, they can take you hostage and hold you for ransom, and they don't care how long they hold you.
Yeah, I know. And then there were some, no threats like that, nothing that was overt or clearly spoken, but it was like, you might want to pay me, because it's not a good idea if you don't. And again, I'm paraphrasing. And then they'd kind of glance over at Kathy. And I just laughed at him. I said, look, you really don't want to mess with me. It's not a good idea. Somebody's going to get hurt. But really, if you're going to mess with her, I don't think I'd go there. She has a machete, and she knows how to use it. And, they're like, oh, really?
Yeah. So,
I know it sounds silly and maybe a little far-fetched, but I wouldn't want to be around Kathy when she gets upset. And I do my best to keep that from happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you got back here and safe, and I am very delighted that that happened. There was another part of your journey that I also advised you against, but you sort of did part of it anyway.
Yeah, we didn't do the other part of it because when I felt into it, it felt so risky that it was one of those things that you just, and I really can't go into too great a detail about this right now, but basically mm-hmm. we were going someplace that is even more risky, more dangerous than Tocachi, because something has been found down in the mountains of Bolivia that is equal to a story if you were to combine National Treasure, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and the Da Vinci Code into one story, a whole new movie. That's what this one's like. And we're going to be working on this story, and we're going to produce a video about it, because the details we came across were just breathtaking, unbelievable. But to get to where we needed to be, first off, we would have to travel for a day out of La Paz along the Road of Death. Before ever getting off the Road of Death.
Why do they call it that?
They call it that.
Yeah, why do they call it the Road of Death?
Well, because it moves through the Andes Mountains, and you've got basically a one-lane dirt road carved out of rock on the side of a mountain. There's no guardrails. There's no maintenance on the road, and there are really big trucks and really big buses and cars and, who knows, mules, donkeys, burros, people. And two vehicles passing each other is heart-stopping, because one of the vehicles is going to have his tires right on the very edge, and maybe a little bit off of the edge of this road, and it can be 1,000 to 2,500 feet straight down. There are waterfalls coming off the mountain and just crashing onto the road. You try to drive beneath and around that. If it rains, it's even worse. So it's a road of death, and a lot of people have perished on this road. I guess that's why they call it that. It'd be very easy to have a huge, terrible accident, and believe me, if you go over, it's the end of it. Well, going to this location is traveling on that road, and I don't have a problem doing it. I would take my motorcycle and do it anytime.
Jerry, we have to step away for break again, but we'll pick up here when we come back. All right, folks, more with Jerry Wills and the Road of Death and some of the exciting backstory of the expedition he and Kathy have just finished when we get back from this break. And it is exciting stuff. I don't know how deep he's going into this, but it gets pretty exciting. All right, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you are here. And you have my sincere sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. My associate host here at the Kevin Smith Show is Jerry Wills. And Jerry, as you know, has just returned. Jerry and Kathy have just returned from a pretty arduous expedition into some extremely remote and dangerous areas in South America. And he's been sharing with us some of the backstory, things you haven't heard in our previous broadcast, because when we talked with him previously about the expedition, he was in South America, and we agreed he needed to be clear of South America and back home before he told some of these stories. And so he's now doing that. So Jerry, when we left to go on break, you were on. You were talking about you'd have to travel the road of death to do the entire part of this other expedition, and then we had to go away for break. So wrap that up, and then let's open the phone lines.
Yeah, of course. Well, basically, like I was saying, I wouldn't mind riding my motorcycle on it, but I wouldn't want to drive a car. There is a place back in the Andes that there's something truly phenomenal, and it is a very closely guarded secret, and it's very dangerous because it involves great sums of money and unbelievable treasures. We know who put it there. We know sort of what the story is about it. Moreover, we know the history behind it, and we wanted to try and get this information so that we could bring it and share it with folks. But it was really just way too dangerous for us to go there. It just felt, there was just a feeling that it was going to be, we didn't really have that opinion until we got to Bolivia. But once we got there, it was obvious. The feeling was very uncomfortable.
So what were you able to do in Bolivia?
What we did is we went to the Gold Museum and tried to get information about the Fuente Magna, which is a bowl that was discovered on the Altiplano. It has two different languages on it. One is Semitic. So we wanted to go and get good documentation on this bowl. We have folks who are really quite good at foreign languages, and we don't think the bowl has been accurately translated. A lot of people think that it's a fraud, but we've seen it. It's not a fraud. I can't see how it could possibly be a fraud. The other story was about 3 weeks before we went to Bolivia, Kathy had stumbled across, because she was looking, had stumbled across the exact, well, pretty close to the exact location, the name of the village, where a footprint had been found on an outcropping of sandstone. It's a human footprint, and this outcropping of sandstone, according to what we've been able to determine so far, has been labeled as being 5 to 15 million years old. Conservatively, it's being said that it's a million and a half years old. Well, that's still very old.
Yeah. It's so older than I am.
I'm sorry?
That's older than I am.
Yeah.
You know, a million and a half years?
It's older than my loaf of bread. So we'd heard about this in 2008, and the information was very obscure and vague. So we decided to go and get the story. We went to the village. The spelling of the village was incorrect. We finally discovered that once we got there. And we got to this place. We were on the Altiplano. It's 13,000 feet elevation. And where we needed to go was on top of a mountain, and the only way to get there was to walk up it. So we did. Got up there. There was a fence that had been erected by one of the people who had discovered the footprint and was wanting to protect it. And then we discovered that someone had taken a rock saw and cut out this human footprint, which was a very good specimen, and it was gone. So I documented that it's gone. It felt rather anticlimactic at that point and a bit aggravating, because now we're at 4,000 meters and it was quite a journey to get there. Kathy was undaunted by it all, and she figured that if there was one footprint, there must be more. Whoever made it, they didn't just sort of float out of the sky and put their foot down and float back up again. So she decided she was going to go and try to find it. So she went exploring around the mountaintop. She followed a strata of the sandstone. They're pretty easily identified because they're a little bit different colors. Broken up badly, but different colors. And she discovered a second footprint. Actually, a third as well. The third is so badly decomposed, it's a stretch of the imagination. Unless you're actually standing there looking at it, you look at the video, and it's like, that doesn't even look like anything. So she found the second footprint. And we spent some time documenting that. And we've looked at the footage, and it's very good. So that'll be coming out pretty soon. We have a lot of editing to do to get that ready to produce. And we're also working with John and Sally Tudor. Sally Tudor is an anthropologist. We're pretty confident of what we have, and we're putting a press release out about it in the days ahead.
Okay, you and I will continue talking here, but folks, it's BYOT. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind within the world of the strange and the unexplained. And all we have to have in order for that to happen is you need to call us. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. So give us a call, and you can either talk to Jerry, you can ask him a question, make a comment, or you can say, you know, I'd like to talk about something else that's going on. And that's cool, too. We'll be happy to do that. But I wanted you to get some of this backstory, folks. You know, when Jerry and Kathy go to these places, it's not like, you know, you pay your money and you get on a cruise ship and they take you to these neat places and you get to sort of see them and you get to sort of experience what it's like in the tourist areas and then you get back on the ship. It's not like that. And we're talking about guns pointed in your face, having to pay bribes to these bandits to get them to unblock the roads and things like that. I mean, this is real stuff. This is how it really, really happens. And I have some experience with that because part of my job when I was international police in East Timor was going out and clearing those bandits off the roads. And they did the same thing over there. And that was quite interesting and exciting as well. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, and Jerry, Kathy, good to see you back safe and sound.
Hi, thank you, Steve.
Sounds like your guide might have been on leave from the IRS.
Yeah.
I mean, he's picking you up for money that you, supposedly you didn't pay the last year. You know, my God, what's he doing, auditing you?
They figured that we're white folks, and it doesn't matter where they get it from. If it's something they want, then they'll just get it wherever they can.
You're right about that. Well, I'm glad you're safe. And Jerry, it's something that's been bugging me, I've been meaning to ask, is when you guys take these trips out of the country and into third world areas, do you have to get vaccines?
No. There are times when it's probably a prudent thing to do. For example, there was a yellow fever outbreak in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. We have gotten vaccinated against that was years ago. Well, that was probably 13 years ago, so it probably isn't any good anymore. But No, not really. I mean, we don't like vaccines anyway. Our philosophy is, why put something in your body that, you know, shouldn't be there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Exactly right, Jerry. I would rather take my chances with yellow fever than what they put in these vaccines. You know, that's some dangerous stuff. And I know a lot of the missionaries who take frequent trips to Africa and who take the vaccines every time, simply because they want to be compliant with rules and regulations, they've been dying pretty wholesale from brain cancer, and a lot of that is coming through these vaccines. So I'm glad to hear you're not getting vaccinated. That sets my mind at ease on that account. And Kevin, I'm glad to hear, especially, you know, let me speak for the UK and European members. We're so glad that you've got your K-pods fixed. You know, thank goodness.
Well, I'll tell you, it has, Steve, believe me, nobody out there was as frustrated with this as I have been. I have worked with this and worked with it and worked with it. I understand how to write the script, but the problem was some of the software had updated that I had no choice. It had to update, and it no longer could respond to script based on that version of PHP, which is the version that my web hosting company has installed, so I couldn't change that. And so it's been a nightmare.
Well, I'm sure you're the one banging your head on the wall over there trying to make it fixed, you know, or trying to get it fixed. And, you know, you're the guy that stands to lose if it doesn't get fixed. And speaking of losing, let me ask you this as well. Have you been able to get that new member button fixed?
That's next. I had to set that aside in order to get this stuff going, just so we could carry on with the shows and the archives. I've got right now, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got, between all the computers, I've got 10 programs running. And they have to talk to each other. The automation has to talk to all of them. And even with that, there's a great deal that's not automated that I still have to click stuff to make it happen. But it would be impossible to fly this without the automation working. And so I had to focus on this because it was like cascading and getting worse. And I'll go back and get the button fixed.
Well, thank God. You know, I really hope that, because I know a lot of people are missing out, you know, not just on your show, but on the forums and, you know, the monthly chat and so many things that come with your show that aren't part of it, the two-hour broadcast. You know, that
right.
Two-hour broadcast is worth way more than the price of the membership all by itself. You know, if they can just catch that, you know, they're still getting their money's worth. But there is so much more. This is just the tip of the iceberg. And so other people would benefit, you would benefit. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, I, for one, continue to be a faithful member and donor. And Jerry and Kathy, I just want to say again how glad I am that you're safe and sound. And, you know, stay off that dang highway of death, motorcycle or no motorcycle. I just don't even like the name of the place.
It's really beautiful, but it's treacherous.
I'm quite sure. All right, I'll get off the line now and let somebody else take a call.
Hey, thanks for the call,
Steve.
You bet.
You know, we had all of the roads in East Timor were like what you're describing. And in fact, there's one road in Suai that goes over the mountain, and you know a mountain road winds around. Mm-hmm. Well, it finally runs out of mountain to wind around, and you just go up. And then you get to the top, and you start down the other side, and it's gravel, and even if you lock the brakes, you will slide down the other side. It's that steep. And so it's you know, I'm accustomed to places like that. But I was on my motorcycle in East Timor on a road like that, and I got knocked over the cliff.
Oh, not good.
No, it wasn't 1,000 feet down. It was about 100 feet down, but there was nothing but nothing but big sharp boulders at the edge of the river underneath me. But about 30 feet down, there was all this scrub brush with vines in it, and it just caught me like a net, and I laid real still till somebody lowered a rope to me.
I had the same thing happen riding a horse up the side of one of the mountains last time we were in Tocachi.
Yeah.
The back leg of the horse slipped because it had been raining, and the horse rolled over the top of me, and it went down. Didn't go all the way, but I landed in a tree upside down with all those vines.
Mm-hmm.
I was upside down looking, you know, and it was a very long way between me and the river. It was pretty scary.
Yeah, you know, as I went over backwards, and I knew I was going right over the edge of the cliff. I watched the edge of the cliff pass under me, you know, and there was absolutely no fear. I was shocked at my own response. I thought, well, this is it. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, Jerry, and Kathy. This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I just want to say welcome back to the country, Jerry.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Brent. Kathy's sitting right over here hiding. I know she appreciates it as well.
Okay.
Maybe we can get her over
Kevin,
here and
I'm going to give you an analogy.
Go ahead, Brent.
I think Steve can appreciate.
All right.
When you're working in the hospital, especially in physical therapy for me, you've got your schedule. You've got to get, sometimes we had three patients on tables, two patients in whirlpools, four patients on the floor were doing exercises. You've got to get them all synchronized, and when someone's late, it screws everything up.
Uh-huh.
So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and in this case, too, it with the automation, or as you say, synchronization, when that cascaded down, it absolutely prevented us from delivering product, which is, you know, the K-pods and some other stuff. Absolutely prevented it. And so, you know, I was ready to call in, you know, a shaman and do an exorcism or something. You know, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah. One more real quick question for Jerry.
All right.
Did Jeff call you today?
Jeff.
Harvey?
Harvey. Yeah.
No. I got an email. I'm glad you reminded me. No, I haven't even answered him back yet, but I will.
Because he could use your help, at least as an intuitive.
All right. I'll give him a ring when we get off the show.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Brent. 623-444-5889. That would be the number to call. If you'd like to talk with Jerry, like to ask a question, make a comment. You know, Jerry, you've heard me say this before, that, you know, you guys really are like the Mr. and Mrs. Indiana Jones, the real thing. Does that bother you when I describe you that way?
No, Indiana Jones is like our hero, so it's pretty cool.
Cool. But it really is true, folks. And, you know, I hope you caught that first hour, because in the first hour you got to hear a little bit of the backstory. Not all of it, not all the details, but until you've been in a foreign country and... been arrested like I was 3 times, or with threats of they're going to do this and do that to you, Or like with Jerry, you know, and Kathy, with guns pointed at them and, you know, having to pay these bribes to bandits to let them pass through the road. Until you've actually experienced that, you really don't appreciate life like you should. It can get tight. Jerry, one time I was backed up against the outer wall of the chief's hut with some of his warriors with spears touching me, one right at the edge of my throat. And that was another time where I thought, yeah, this is it. And I, you know, but as you see, I'm here.
I don't even know what to say about that. It's a little frightening, that's for sure.
My interpreter didn't know what to say, and then when I told her what to say, she said, "I can't tell him that. They'll kill us." I said, "Tell him exactly that." I told you what I told him, right?
Yeah, you did.
And he believed it, too. All right, now, with all of the stress and all of the hassle that you went through on this expedition, if somebody called you up and said, "Tell you what, Jerry, here's $25,000. I want you to go back in there and find this, this, and this," would you do it?
Yeah.
You know you're a little crazy, right?
I'm married to Indiana Jane.
Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Doc in Arkansas.
Hello, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Hello there. Happy to hear you're back in the country.
Thank you.
And I was going to give you a call and tell you, too, Kevin, I was happy to hear you figured out the buggy problems.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, I actually had them figured out what the cause was a few days before I finally had to cave in and pay for upgrades on the other software, because I just didn't have the money to pay it. And man, talk about really, really frustrated. That was really frustrating to be so close and to know exactly what would fix it and then couldn't do it. But we got it done.
Well, I just want to call and touch bases with you and tell you guys I was happy to, you know, hear you fix your bug problems there and everything on the communication with the stations and all that fun stuff. And tell your partner there, happy to have him back in the country because, you know, and your website's real nice there too, Jerry.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, and, Doc, thanks so much for the call. We have to step away for a break. And we'll be back right after this. We'll take some more telephone calls, so get your fingers ready to do the dialing.
coffee or tea. From where I sit, it's impossible to see. Why such a place needs an enemy? No one here can say.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our conversation this evening with Jerry Wills. You've been getting some of the backstory about this expedition they've just completed in a couple of countries down in South America. And videos of the expedition and what they were able to find and photograph for you, that's in the process now. It's beginning. The process is beginning. To be turned into videos that you can, you're going to be able to watch. I suspect that will be over at your website, Expeditions TV, right? You know, I forgot to turn up your mic again. There we go. Is that correct, Jerry?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's ExpeditionsTV.com, spelled with an X. Not, no, it's not .com, is it?
No, it's now expeditions.tv.
Oh, okay.
Next.
Expeditions.tv. Moving on up in the world, man.
That's you know, John Shooter from Coastal Computing in Spain. He's a master at these things, and he built this site from the ground up. Completely revamped every aspect of Expeditions TV. He really needed it. And John just did an incredible job of creating actually a system. It's not a website anymore. It is a communications system.
And have you learned to use that system, that software yet?
Not completely. But I haven't really had time to. It was finished just about 2 days before we left, and I've not really had a lot of time to dabble with it. But I have put some posts up there. I understand, you know, the very basic aspects of it. It's a very advanced system, and as a result, you know, I'm going to have to dive into it. But I'll probably wait to really get that involved until after we get the video editing completely finished, at least to a point. It's a very time-consuming thing working with these videos. Right now, what we're producing is a series of shorts, silly little things that we videotaped, little fun things. You know, experiences outside of the expedition, as Kathy was just saying, and they're silly, they're funny, and at least we think they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
So we're busy producing those, and it really helps me to dabble with this system again. It's a very complicated editing system, so it refreshes me on how to use all the different features. And we, you know, we're pretty used to it, but when you don't do it day after day, you forget a few things. And
yeah.
So this is giving the opportunity to get back into it again.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Gary from Nebraska.
Hello, Gary.
Hello, Gary from Nebraska.
I want to add my nickels worth welcoming Jerry and Kathy back. We've had one heck of an adventure, and my goodness, it just scares the pants off me just listening to what's transpired there.
And now, Gary, this is a family show. You can't be on this show without your pants.
I'll try to be more careful in the future.
All right.
I was wondering about any Jerry, is there any room, a possibility that you would consider writing a journal about some of your experiences? I don't know, multitude of formats, but I think it would make a great read if you could manage that, but of course it's entirely up to you whether you do or not.
Well, thanks. It's a good suggestion, and Kathy and I have talked about this. You know, she's not sitting here. She's over there hiding. But you're hiding. There's plenty of room. Anyway, a lot of the things that go on behind the scenes that don't make it to the video, you know, because the video is kind of like pointed towards here's where we are, here's what we're doing, here's what we found, and so forth. But there are some things that are behind the scenes. And yeah, a journal, to print something out like that, I think it'd be a pretty interesting read because you would see an entirely different side of what we're doing. The how miserable we are sitting in a taxi cab for 12 hours and how aggravating it is when you open up the little thing of tuna and it comes with little crackers and the tuna is okay, and the crackers are just crumbs, just crumbled. Or you're putting it on there and you hit a bump and the cracker just explodes. There's a lot of bumps. So there's all kinds of funny things that happen, you know, or it falls on the camera or in my lap, as it did.
It reminds me of the rations you used to have in the service.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know what, those rations that you had in the service, did you get a little tiny bottle of Tabasco sauce with that?
No, I don't remember that, Kevin. I don't think we did.
Well, you know, when I was in Bosnia and then later in Kosovo, we were issued MREs is I think C rations and then what was it, K rations, and then they went to MREs or something like that. Well, with the MREs, you get a little tiny bottle. It's about 1 inch tall of Tabasco sauce. And I used to save those. I would save those until I had, you know, like 10 of those. And then I'd make me an omelet. And I had enough Tabasco sauce then for an omelet, you know.
Well, that would have been a great treat, I bet.
Yeah, well, you know, you take your treats where you can get them.
That's right.
Seriously.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you and hear Jerry and Kathy are back and are well, and I hope that doesn't change in the future. Thanks a lot, Jerry, and you too, Kevin.
All right.
You guys are just great, and I don't mind contributing when I can to keep things going.
Well, thank you, Gary.
All right. Have a good evening.
Right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. Gary has been he's a longtime listener and supporter of this show. He just hangs in there with us, and he's been through all the ups and the downs. And if I may be wrong, I think Gary went with me through the jungle. I think when I was broadcasting from East Timor, I think Gary was with us.
Hmm. Wow.
So
we're going to be in Nebraska. Oh, I don't know if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks, but we're going to be in Nebraska soon. The schooner is ready to go for the most part. So we're going to do an event here in Jerome on this coming Saturday. And after that, we're probably going to hook up and take off, go to Colorado, and then Nebraska, and then finally heading over to Memphis later in July. But if, you know, we're thinking about doing just, you know, getting together with some of the listeners. So if Gary wanted to get together, we'll be in the Lincoln area. So be fun. And in Colorado, we're going to be in, as it looks right now, we're going to be in Longmont, near Boulder.
I've never been to Longmont. I have been to Boulder.
You know, Longmont is just It's a little town just east of Boulder. The reason we go there is because Boulder is a high-priced place, and Longmont is a normal-priced place. Of course, it really depends on where we're going to find a place to land the prairie schooner as well.
Mm. There was a period of time where I was living in Vienna, right? Vienna, Austria.
Beautiful place.
Well, it certainly is. It's magnificent. And so were the prices. Absolutely astronomical. But I made that comment later to a coworker who was from Vienna. And he said, well, that's because you didn't go to the places where people from Vienna go. You went to the places where people who visit Vienna go. And I said, well, you know, I was, yeah, because, you know, we, any place, you know, near our hotel where they had us housed. And we were there for a while, you know. And so any place near is where we went because, you know, you had to walk, right? You didn't want to take a taxi. I guarantee you, you didn't want to do that. You had to take out a mortgage to take a taxi. I bet you in Boulder it's the same way. I bet there are places in Boulder that are very normal priced.
Yeah, probably so. We didn't spend a lot of time in Boulder. There's actually what we want to do there. I want to unload the bike and go up to a place called Nederland, which is up about 8,500 feet west of Boulder. Go for a bike ride up in the Rockies. It's beautiful this time of year, and you know, perfect time to do it.
What kind of motorcycle do you have, and what size is it?
Kathy and I have a BMW. It's a GS Adventure. It's 1150. 2003. It's kind of like the Rubicon of motorcycles. In other words, a Rubicon Jeep or a Hummer. Well, this is the motorcycle version of something like that. It really will go anywhere and do it with great precision. The weak link in a system like this is the rider. There are some things that I've gotten myself into I just wasn't very happy about. But it'll take you there and it'll bring you back. You just have to have enough nerve to hang on and maneuver that motorcycle so that you can get in and out with some skill.
That bike is so big, folks. Now, you know, I'm 6 feet, 1 inch tall. That bike is so big, I bet I could not sit on that bike and have both feet on the ground. It's huge.
It is. And actually, it's modified because I'm 6'9". So when I get on it, it's just right.
Mm.
My feet...
Well, hell, an elephant would be just right for you.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. And they don't take as much gas.
Right. Yeah, but it's a gorgeous bike, and I stood there and looked at it one night, and it's when you came through here and you guys found my secret studio, and you did the show here. I looked at that bike, and you know, I was looking distance from the seat to the ground. There's no way I could put both feet on the ground there.
Yeah, it's quite tall. There are few people who could ride this motorcycle.
Yeah. I had asked you the question, if somebody comes along and says, all right, Jerry, here's $25,000 to do an expedition. I want you to go back in to that very same area. I want you to look for this. I want you to look for that. I said, would you do it? And you said, yeah. Why? After everything you just went through with guns in your face.
Because it's a challenge, it's an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy and I are explorers. It's just sort of built into what we are and what we do. I think if someone came up and said that, I'd probably say, you know, there are much more interesting places elsewhere.
Yeah, I think I'd say that too. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. And we'll take a couple of more calls. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show, and the telephone lines are open if you'd like to talk with Jerry. Kathy has now joined him, and we're glad that she has. Hi, Kathy. You know, I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting to turn your mic on. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Now, Kathy, this trip you just taken, the expedition, you had guns pointed in your face by really, really nasty people. Had you ever had that happen to you before?
Only when we go into that region.
So you had that happen to you before?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was common in that region, but sometimes it's not as many stops.
Uh-huh.
Through the area.
Were you anxious about it? Did you have some concerns while they had their guns pointed at you, or were you pretty cool and calm?
Because I don't understand the language very well.
Uh-huh.
And then they talk fast, so you don't know what they're saying anyway.
They seem excited.
Yeah, they always seem excited, you know.
That's really a bad sign. That means they're nervous about what they're doing.
Right. So I just try to keep Jerry from talking to him and hope for the best.
Yeah, when you got a group like that, and say there's three or four of them or more, and they're excited, you know, and nervous, the real danger is somebody in that group is going to want to prove to everybody else what a honcho he is and that he's not afraid. And, you know, at that point he becomes very dangerous. But it sounds like you guys handled it well and you got through it. I would still advise the same thing I did before. If somebody drops $100,000 on you and says, "I want you to go back into that area," I want you to repeat this after me and practice this. Okay, you ready? Here
okay.
we go. Hell no.
Well, it'll depend on the circumstance.
Just remember, I taught you a response that will work really well for that.
Okay. Hell no.
Hell no. That'll work really well for that. But I do understand, actually. I don't travel the world anymore. But I used to. I was all over the place, and I would go anywhere. I mean, I would talk to anybody. And, you know, I knew I didn't think I was invincible. I knew I could die. Came pretty close a couple of times. But, you know, I wanted to. I didn't want to die, but I wanted to go to these places. I wanted to do what I was doing. And so there wasn't a lot of fear factor in it. It was more of a adventure factor in it.
Exactly.
But you got to realize those guys are not feeling your adventure, you know, and they're genuinely dangerous. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller? Okay, well, all the buttons are pushed. And we'll give it another shot here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, nobody there. Okay. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michael from Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, I know that voice. Hi, Michael.
How you doing?
I thought you were back in Sedona.
Well, I know. That's why I had to call and let you guys both know that I haven't made it back there yet.
Well, listen. I drive Nikes, and I could have gotten from Nashville to Sedona by now driving Nikes.
Nikes.
Well, I'm working on a project that's breakthrough project that I'm working on, and it's taking a bit to do the complex thing.
Uh-huh. It's extremely high tech. I know that. Michael, do you have Skype there?
I don't have my internet is very intermittent.
Uh-huh.
And that's I was listening to your show and all of a sudden it just stopped and so I picked up the phone and called.
Well, I'm glad you called. Can you call me? I'll let you talk with Jerry in a minute. But after the show tonight, Can you call me back?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead. Talk to Jerry and Kathy.
Hey, Wilses.
Hey.
neighbors on the other side of the country. Carla said that you had called and that you were under the assumption that I was back home, and if I were back home, of course, I would have called you. But
well, we were going to invite you to breakfast tomorrow, so we'll just wait until you return.
Okay, I'll be back Friday night, so I'll be back in Sedona Saturday.
All right. Well, if you want to do breakfast Saturday or Sunday, then that'd be great.
Okay, groovy, cool. So I'll let you get on with the rest of the show. I'm trying to come back in and listen as I can, but I know you're about to wrap up.
Yeah, we are. We've got about
and again, of course,
2.5
I'm
minutes.
Glad to know that you guys are back safe and love you all.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michael. That's a good guy. He is, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that is the front man, lead guitar player and singer for Terra Anomaly, and also a personal friend both of Jerry and Kathy and myself. Good person. And he's still got great hair like Jerry. He doesn't have to wear a hat like I do. All right. What's next for the Will's Expedition team?
Well, it's editing video. We've got about 20 hours of video to wade through. We have a couple of stories that are intermingled with all of this, and it's a lot of research and a lot of data to put in.
Doing a background check on all the information,
all the things that need to be put in place, so we have a real comprehensive presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, in a couple of weeks we're going to be taking off and hitting, as I was mentioning a few minutes ago, Colorado, Nebraska, and Memphis, Tennessee, and then who knows, I mean, there are probably other places as well. These are events, for your listeners who might not know, I do something called an evening with Jerry Wills.
Mm-hmm.
It's the healing.
You got about 30 seconds, Jerry.
Okay, well, that's pretty much it. Then go online and find out.
No, I expected you to take the 30 seconds, so I wouldn't have to, but that's okay. Well, Jerry and Kathy, we are delighted to have you back safe and sound. I have to tell you, I really was pretty much on pins and needles while you guys were gone because I knew details about where you were going and how dangerous these areas were. So it's really good to see you back, and I appreciate you being on the show here with me tonight.
Well, thanks for having us on, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Kevin.
You bet. Stay on the line with me for just a moment. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty much going to do it for this evening. Jerry Wills and Kathy Wills, what great people. And I'll tell you, I've been to some really, really dangerous places, but not just because I wanted to. They go just because they want to, and they want to discover stuff. All right, my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You may call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.